What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Woke and Broke Podcast.
What's goody?
Hey.
What it do? How are you?
Woo! That's an important question.
I mean, that's really the question to be had. You know, how are y'all doing? Mm. How are you doing? How you feeling? What's going on? Mm. Are y'all surviving this COVID-19 pandemic or not?
I know it's been hard though. I'm not even gonna lie. It's been hard. Like, I was excited to be at home and like relax. Because if you really know me, you know, like, being with these kids every day has been mad stressful. So, like, having this break has been nice and like being with Yara, but I miss people. Like, I miss like talking to
that
people.
Normal interaction.
Yes. Like, God, this shit is hard.
Yeah. Hockey.
And even when you're out in public, like, you know, my friendly ass, I want to talk to every fucking body, but I'm having to remember, bitch, this ain't the time nor the place to be just talking to random ass Tom, Dick, and Harry. You know what I'm saying? Like, get what you need and take your ass back to the house.
That's real. Because, like, I mean, the only people I really have interaction with is everybody at work. And y'all already know how work make me feel. It's just like a ball of stress. So, which, even though it's been getting a lot better, because now that we're not doing like the normal day-to-day routine, we've been able to kind of get a lot more, or show a lot more attention to the residents and stuff, get to know them a little bit better, and we really been getting to know each other a lot better. Which I guess is good, but at the same time, it's like, damn, I miss my friends. I miss going outside to play, pretty much, because I can't go outside and play. Like, I gotta stay in the house and just go to work or go to the store, and that's it. Like, I miss the kickbacks, I miss having fun, I miss hanging out, and I can't do none of that. So I feel you, friend.
Yes, it's tough, but I'm trying to make it.
Yes, it is just, it's difficult right now. These are tough times. And, you know, if you're used to high activity, high interactions, this is certainly an adjustment. So for me, I've been trying to adjust to it in terms of like, oh, this is downtime for my busy day to day. But at the same time, it's like, at some point you do need like human interaction. And if you don't have that after so long, it gets hard. I mean, on social media right now, people are talking about how are they going to deal with this, especially people that are extroverts, you know, at heart, outside of their day-to-day working activities. They also do other things, and it's impacting them deeply. Like, they're making different comments about how tough it is, what are some activities they're going to do. And if y'all notice, like, well, I've been noticing, like, a lot of people on social media have been doing things to occupy themselves and like really try to bring people into their conversations and like engage around whatever the topic may be. But I'm just seeing a higher level of that. And so I'm wondering, like, for the people that it's impacting the most, is that their response to it? Like, are they responding in a way that they feel like, okay, this is what I have to do to keep sane or to keep busy or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna lie. Like, so normally the amount of content that people put out is easily absorbable, I guess. But with everybody like putting out all this content, I don't know who to look at. I don't know what to watch. I don't know who to listen to, because everybody is, I love to see all the expression. It's beautiful and great.
Absolutely.
And I encourage it all day. But at the same time, it's like all of DJs is doing DJ mixes. So you really don't know who you're listening to.
Overwhelmed.
Right. Everybody fucking talking about the same shit. Everybody is talking about how they doing because of Corona and stuff. It's like, who do I listen to? And like, I find myself only gravitate into the things that really make me happy. Yes. You know, primarily probably because like everything else is so stressful. I'm tired of hearing about the Rona. I'm tired of her ass. You know what I'm saying? I want to hear about something that's uplifting, that's positive, that's going to make me smile and laugh or make me feel good. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. And like, I feel like that most of the content that's being put out there is all centered around Rona. You know what I mean? Yeah, like everybody being stressed out and stuff like that, which I get. We all need to vent. But at the same time, it's like, I want to find content that I can absorb that is positive and uplifting, that's going to encourage my spirit while we going through this thing until it's all said and done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I've been reading like a variety of different books just for me in the classroom. So I always recommend people like find what you're passionate in and read more. Like I used to be like an avid reader, and I like ever since going to college, like I just slowed down. Like a lot. But now I'm in that season where I can like get back to reading again, because I love a good book. I really, really do. And then I've been listening to, shout out to my line sister, Monty put me on this new podcast called Horrible, literally Horrible Decisions. And it's like my spirit animal. Like these women like candidly about sex and like women's bodies, and like just there is like no leaf unturned, like, and it just I be driving like oh my god like I feel like a prude again, like, you know, it's like, I know, isn't that crazy, like listen to it, I'm like damn, like, you know, like, damn, I need to like explore, like I should not be feeling like a prude listening to this podcast, like, right.
And high key, now is the time to explore too, because you ain't got nothing but time. You there, your man there.
Okay, pause. I definitely had a pregnancy scare, like bitch period didn't come for like 2 days. It was like bitch period ain't never like. And so, you know, I be extra like careful these days. I need to be extra careful, because who don't want baby number two is me.
Ain't that so, it?
That's like the hard part of like being in a relationship and wanting to like just fuck around, but don't want to wear condoms and don't want that birth control. Like options are very limited.
You need to get the thing. What's that thing called? The little deal that you can insert in there and it like will help you.
And that's the thing. I always say that shit fucks you up. Like bitches, shit just start traveling out your body and just.
Well, see, that's the arm one that you put in the arm and shit. But they got the one that you put like inside the vagina.
I know, right? And that bitch be traveling too.
Shit. See, I know a few people who have that or whatever, and they like it. They are good with it, you know. And everything.
So maybe I should stop being a hater and really like look into it.
I mean, I would just talk to your doctor, you know, to see what your doctor says.
Right.
That way you can figure out what option is best for you and your body, and then do what you got to do. Because I mean, it's so many different options out here nowadays. I mean, if you ain't trying to have no baby right now, then they can hook you all the way up. You know what I mean?
I'm not trying to have no babies, sure.
You still got your hands full of wine. Like, you just trying to make it.
I do not see how people like have several ass kids. I mean, I get it, because now that I have my one, like, I'm like, shit, I can have another baby. But, bitch, I'm like getting high and like some more shit right now. So, I'm in the season where I just want to chill.
You want to be free. Yes.
I want to be free. Like, I want to work on my own health. You know what I'm saying? And every part of what health means, physical, mental, and, you know, having another baby is a lot of mental and physical stress. So it's like,
that's real.
And now I feel so bad for my cousin. Like, she's gonna have a baby, and you can't, because of the whole coronavirus, she can't only have one person in there with her. And that may be debatable. Like,
right, yeah.
And that scares the shit out of me, because you know I don't give a damn about black women half the time, and
she needs
somebody in there to advocate for her and her health, you know?
Yeah, that's real. That's real. But like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I've been reading a lot more too and stuff. Like, I've been doing my energy work and all that good stuff. Meditating, trying to meditate a lot more. I actually just made a meditation video tonight before we started recording, whatever.
Nice.
So I gotta edit that and put that all together.
Yeah.
But like, I've been doing, you know, all my energy work, and I've actually been reading this book that kind of goes along with it, called Chakra Healing, Your Personal Guide. just to all healing of chakras and everything. And so it kind of actually goes along with the energy work that I've been doing. So I don't know if I told y'all, but like I'm doing this Reiki class, the Reiki master class to become a Reiki master. And we're in our first month. And my teacher is Danielle Oyoka. I think that's how you say her name, but that's Mystic Lipstick. So she was the girl who was on the Friend Zone one time that Hey Friend Hey was talking about. And then I think they had her on and she was like doing readings and stuff. She was like really getting them together. And it was like one of my favorite episodes of the show. And so like I had followed her on Twitter back then, and all of a sudden I was like getting this feeling that I wanted to like learn about Reiki and stuff like that. And I looked on Twitter one day and she was like, okay, so I done got enough questions from y'all, or I done got enough requests from y'all. So I'm going to do this Reiki masterclass. I'm going to do it one time and one time only. I ain't going to never do it again. So if you want to do it, then join now. And I was like, it's time. It's my turn, bitch. Because I've been waiting for this. Like, it's like, I've been asking you. Right. She said, I ain't doing this ever again. So literally there's this call that she does with like all these people who are in her like Patreon account. Mm-hmm. And they were asking her, oh, when are you doing the Reiki class again? And she read the question. She was like, never. I'm not doing it again. So, I was like, shout the fuck out. Thank God I'm a part of that number, Lord, because Lord knows I've been waiting for this for a long time. But what I did not know was that it was going to be as challenging as it is, because like you really are opening yourself up to be vulnerable with your energy. And so like you're not only helping heal other people's energy, but you're healing yourself at the same time. You know, so like the whole first month we have been doing like self-healing poses, using Reiki to heal ourselves, and then we had to practice and do four sessions to heal other people. And so like I've been practicing on that. You can Reiki stuff, so I've been Reikiing my like alcohol and like my water, stuff like that, so that I can like infuse different things into it, like love, abundance, support, good sex, all that kind of stuff.
Slide that in there.
It's important. You know, but on like on the real, like it really has been having my emotions all over the place. It really has brought up a lot of old emotions that I thought I had worked through, you know. But it, and so like now I've been kind of like highly irritated about little things and stuff like that. And so I've just been trying to communicate a lot more. I've realized that like my throat chakra, which is like the chakra that deals with communication and stuff, I have to do more healing of that. Just because like in my past, I really never felt like my voice was important or that it mattered or anything like that. And so my communication is a little bit funky, you know? And so I've been, you know, focusing on healing that and being more confident in my speaking and things like that, and realizing that what I have to say is more important. And so in saying all of that, we did like a check-in call for the Reiki masterclass or whatever. And so I asked the question, because I was like, I haven't ever got a reading before, like a tarot reading. I had never got a reading before. And everybody was like, oh my God, Joshua, why haven't you had a reading before? Like, what's going on with you? And I was like, it just never came up. Y'all are the first people who I've been around that's into all of this. You know what I mean? It's just been me who's been interested. So like now that I'm around y'all, like I want to get a reading, you know?
Right.
And so she was like, okay, well, just ask your question and then I'll do a reading. This is Danny. This is our teacher. So I'm like, okay. So I asked my question or whatever, and I asked about like my business, like, so will my business be successful, or do you see any energy around the business? And I have been thinking like for a while, I'm like, okay, so like, should I go ahead and do it? Should I not? Should I wait? Like, what should I do? Cause y'all know I want to do everything in the world when it comes to this business, which I'm probably going to do, but in its own time. So she was like, well, I really don't typically do like career readings or nothing like that, but Grant does. So Grant is, I don't know if it's her boyfriend or her her fiance or if it's her husband. I don't know if they married. I don't know. But so he does like readings on like career and things like that. And he does like a lot of like future tense things where mm-hmm. she does a lot of the present tense. And so he came in there and I was like nervous as fuck. I was like, oh my God, I didn't know both of them was going to read me. I just thought it was going to be her.
Right.
She was shuffling the cards and she was like, okay, so I just want to see if you get the same thing that I'm getting. Cause as of right now, like, it's like saying like, no, it's like, no, don't move forward right now. And so he did it. He was like, well, I'm getting that same energy. It's like, no, but only because like, you have a lot going on with your business. He was like, if you like, I think if you just like pick one of the avenues to start and go down there, then it'll be a lot more clear, which is what I had been thinking anyway. I was like, okay, mm-hmm. so I need to pinpoint exactly what I want to do and just step into it and start doing it instead of like saying, okay, how do I make this and do that and do this and do that? You know what I mean? Just focus my attention and do it and go. You know, and so he was like, yeah, like if you just figure out which one you want to do, make sure and figure that one out and then go with that, then it looks a lot more clear, you know. And so like I told her, she was like, well, is it any one thing in particular that you wanted to start with? And I was like, well, I did want to start with life coaching because that's like the main thing that I'm interested in, you know, and that's what people come to me for anyway, most of the time. And so she was like, okay, well, she did the little thing with the cards or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she was like, so this is a lot more clear. Like, this is a lot more clear, but I will just say, make sure you get all your certifications and stuff. And as soon as you do that, like, then you should be good to go. Right. And I was like, oh my God, this is everything that I said that I needed. Like, you know what I mean? So it just helped me like get on the right track and just help like give me validation, I guess, which yeah. I didn't feel like I needed. But when I got it and I heard it or whatever, it was like, you are on the right track. It was good. And everything, like, it just made me feel like I was going in the right direction and like the decision that I was making was wise. Mm-hmm. So it was my first reading and I just wanted to share that. And so now I'm like super interested in tarot and everything, which I have like two different things, but I had never done nothing with them because I was like, well, I really don't know much about it. Like, I just need to learn a little more. So I bought a book and stuff and I have, but I'm like, I can't start reading that until I finish reading the one that I'm already reading. So
right.
It just like lit my fire and everything. So I just needed to share that. So now I'm dabble and do my little tarot readings and stuff. I did a few with Jarmel and stuff and a few with a few of my friends, and whatnot. So now I'm like all excited and want to do tarot readings for everybody and everything. So
I know, because I'm about ready to be next.
Girl, let's do it. Let's do it. It's funny though, because it's like, it really is spot on. Like, ever since I started like energy work and tarot and everything, like, it has been super spot on. Like, even when I talked to my doctor today, because he's like into like energy work and everything, he's like a holistic doctor all the way around.
Oh wow.
And he was like telling me, you know, he asked me, he was like, why are you so stressed? And I was like, I didn't tell you that I was stressed. Like, he was like, well, I mean, that's what I'm getting from you. I'm getting that you're stressed. And I was like, well, you know, I'm really stressed because of work. I haven't really had no days off. Like, I've been thinking about this virus and everything, and everybody is freaking out, and I'm wanting positive energy and stuff. And so that's just what it is. He was like, you want me to prescribe you for something for anxiety? I was like, well, I think that might help, considering that like everybody else that a few of my other family members are, you know, on anxiety medication and whatnot. So if it's something that can help me, he was like, well, do you want something that's natural or do you want something that
I was waiting for that part.
You already know. So I was like, of course I want whatever's natural, you know, more so than all the other stuff. And so he was like, okay, I'm going to prescribe you some stuff. So I'm going to get a little package together and I will, you know, have the girls put it together and you can pick it up whenever it's ready. And I was like, okay. So it's just funny that, like, all of the stuff is in alignment. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yes. I asked God to put me in on the path that is more in alignment for me, you know, or is in the alignment with the highest good for me. And he has put me on this line or whatever, this path towards all of this energy work and to be in these new groups and around all these people who are supportive and helping me through a lot of the work that I've been needing to do for a number of years, but didn't really have all the keys and all the tools to do the work. And so it just been making me super excited and everything to make sure to get it all done and that I'm doing it the right way and not in a way that's going to be harmful to me or stress me out or fuck shit up. You know what I mean? So like, it just has been like a really interesting ride so far. But I just wanted to share that with y'all.
Yes, I love it. I'm really, I can't say it even like enough how, like, I am how excited I am for you to be going on this journey, because like I can't wait till you read my shit. That's really
right. And it should be real. The shit be real. I tell you, like, these cards will get your ass together.
I'm in this like part in my life where there's a lot of decisions I need to make, but I cannot. I'm so indecisive right now, mm-hmm. and so I need some clarity. So we're gonna have to definitely like get together.
Right. Yes.
Get my shit together, because I want you to just lay it out, friend. Lay it out.
I'm gonna do it. We gonna do it. I'm gonna be, by the time we ready for our trip and everything, I'm gonna be super proficient. I'm gonna be a Reiki master by then, so we gonna have a really good little time when it's time to go to Cancun.
Cause I'm just still hoping we go on our trip in the first freaking place.
I know. I was thinking about that a few days ago. I was like, they keep pushing this thing back, then we gonna be inching into July.
Everybody just knew. And this is the crazy part, though. Everybody was like, 2020 gonna be our year.
And the United States was like, no, ma'am, canceled. 2020 is canceled. But you know what? The one thing that has been coming up a lot with me is that God has not given up. What is that? 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but the power of love and a sound mind. That keeps coming up in my spirit. So it's like all of this stuff that's being presented in the media and everything is just like meant to scare us and make us feel fearful, because, you know, when you feel in a state of fear, that lowers your vibration.
It does.
You know, and when your vibration is low, it opens you up to more sickness, you know, stress, doubt, fear, all of that stuff that opens you up to more sickness and illness and unhealthy feelings and stuff like that, which is not what we need right now. Right, we need positive things. We need things that are going to raise our vibration so that it can help our immune systems and help our bodies and stuff like that. So exercise and eating right, you know, not eating all of this processed food and DoorDash and Burger King and Popeyes and all of that stuff, but making your meals, eating your vegetables, making sure that you're eating your greens and eating your salads or eating your vegetables or whatever, so you can build that immune system up and whatnot, you know. So it's just like that scripture keeps coming up in my spirit, you know, and I just keep wanting to tell people or share that with people, like, don't let fear rule you in this moment. Like, this is your opportunity to gather yourself, figure out what it is that you've been missing or what you've been wanting to do for a long time that you haven't had time to do, and devote your attention to that, not to everything that's gonna scare you. Stay informed, stay in the know, watch these motherfucking politicians, because, you know, that's stuff crazy. Like going on, they like to pass bills and shit, you know, pass laws into effect that you had no idea about. So watch they ass, You know what I'm saying? Think about these elections. Watch what these people who are running for election, what they're doing right now at this time. Right. You know, because a lot of this stuff is just to distract you away from what's most important. You know, and this is a good time for you to get back in touch with yourself. It's a good time to get in touch with, you know, what's going on in the world around you. You know, see through all of the noise and the bullshit and focus on what's most important. And so, like, I just wanted to share that too, because it just keeps coming up in my spirit. Don't be scared. Yeah, you know, God gave us the power of love.
Passions, but have faith, you know?
Facts.
That too.
Facts. But yeah, like, I mean, it's just like a time to really get yourself together.
And you know what? And that's the realest shit ever, because again, I have been so overwhelmed, like, with my job and the way that the Lord just moved things or allowed things to happen, so that a lot of us who were going through a lot of stresses from everyday work are forced now to, like, be at home and reconnect, like, with the people in our household. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, like, I just hope people are really, like, taking this time to just truly reconnect with each other. Get the conversations going, bring out the activities, like getting to know each other in this season and not being so afraid of the unknown.
Right. That's real. That is real. So now we are going to move right over to our main topic segment, The Vent.
Yeah.
And this, we are talking about the movie series on Netflix. What's it even called? I don't forget what it's
Self-made.
Called.
Self-made.
Which is the Madam C.J. Walker story.
Remember, inspired.
Inspired
by the life of Madam C.J. Walker, which is, I had to literally remind myself that as I watched the movie. So
that's real.
And this is full of spoilers. So if you have not seen it and you really want to see it, you should probably do that first and then come back and listen.
Right. Big facts.
Because we're about to run all this shit for you.
We really are. Which, I mean, you ain't had nothing else to do, so you might as well have watched it. So if you haven't watched it by now, then that's all.
But you should have watched it by now, because we gave y'all plenty of time.
Right. Big facts. So let me just pull up a little bit of my notes. Okay, so one thing I wanted to touch on was the relationship between Sarah and Addie. You know, it was this constant competition. You know, us doing whatever it takes in order to make sure that the other one is not winning. You know what I mean?
Right. And it wasn't a mutual beef, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like tit for tat on both ends. It was purely, to me, Addie against Madam C.J. Walker.
Right.
Agreed.
At the end of the day, all Sarah wanted to do was sell the product, you know what I mean? She was willing to work with her at the beginning. She just wanted to help sell, you know, but Addie didn't see her as good enough to sell her product. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's what started it all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because really, and I think really with Madam C.J. Walker, it was more than just selling a product. Like, again, like at the very intro, we talk about Black women and the relationship they have with their hair and the struggle they have with their hair. So like actually finding a product like that you believe in and that you're like, let me tell other Black women who look like me, who may struggle with the same shit that I struggle in. Like, let me put them on. So not only, you know, cause I really genuinely feel like it was not just about helping this girl out and selling a product. It was helping other Black women feel better about themselves. Because people want to say all day, it's just hair, but a lot of who you are and your confidence is tied into how your hair looks.
That's facts. And then, like, just thinking about the time that it was, too. You know, it wasn't a lot of beauticians that was out here just making everybody fly as fuck. You know what I'm saying? So you know, you go from working in the fields all day and whatnot to now you're free people and you are wanting to get your outer appearance to match what everybody knows on the inside anyway. You know what I mean? So to be able to have these products and you know, be able to make yourself feel how you or look on the outside, how you feel on the inside, it was beneficial. I do see that, you know, being beneficial and wanting to spread that feeling to everybody, you know what I mean? Just to kind of get that feeling back to, you know, or to make sure that you feel good about yourself on the outside or whatever. So I can feel that. Especially at this time, like that, it wasn't many people that were selling those products for, you know, Black women or Black people in general. You know what I mean? Right. You know, so it's something that could help your hair grow and like make it more manageable for you to do what you want to do with it.
Exactly. Yeah. And to like, because again, it wasn't just about like boosting our own self-confidence, but so we can get jobs too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like looking in a presentable fashion so that the white folks can say, oh, she's an upkept Black woman. You know, maybe we can consider her for whatever position we need her, you know?
Right. And not just washing clothes or, you know, cleaning the house and things like that.
Right.
I like how this, you know, series depicts kind of like the foundation of hair for Black women and Black people. Excuse me. Because for a lot of us, being, you know, presentable or respectable in the eye of white America did give us opportunities to move forward and be successful. But then we had to think about how our hair, or the relationship with our hair, has transformed over time, and how we now, you know, take pride in our natural hair and the upkeep of that. So I really like the inspiration that launched within the film as well.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely. And it just reminds me of so many other women out there who tried to encourage other women, and it's not this whole only one of us can sell products to Black women. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're all out here. We're creating a space for all of us to be entrepreneurs, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But go ahead.
I like how they like showcased all the different like hairstyles and things like that. You know what I'm saying? Just to kind of show people that your hair is what you make it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So however you want to express yourself and what you want to do, that's what your hair is, or having the freedom to explore all the different options is all about. You know what I mean? So not just looking how other people want you to look, but being free to express yourself the way that you want to express it. So I just liked how they touched on that.
Yeah. Well, like piggybacking on what you, like you bringing up how Addie and Madam C.J. Walker's relationship in the story, why do you think they chose to highlight the issues between the colorism in the Black community, especially between like Black women?
Probably because it's real. You know what I mean? Something that a lot of people tend to overlook.
Right.
You know, but it is a factor even to this day. Like, it's still a thing, you know, in a lot of industries. People will favor the lighter skinned individuals over darker skinned individuals. And I think that this movie does a really good job at touching on that and shining a light on it and bringing it to the forefront so that the discussion can be had, you know, in my opinion.
Right. Because at the end of the day, with Addie and Madam C.J. Walker, they were both, I mean, take away light skin and dark skin, as women they were looked down upon, even amongst other Black men, you know what I'm saying? Or they had very low expectations of these women, you know what I mean?
They weren't seen as important. They didn't see them as like important. They saw them as like staying in the house cooking the food, and you know, it was that traditional sense of what a woman should be,
instead of
we're Black entrepreneurs, we're out here, you know, raising the what do you call it, the state of the race or whatever, right. You know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And I think with, like, Madam CJ and darker-skinned women, they kind of see them as more the help, as mm-hmm. opposed to with Addie, it was, to me, they kind of made her as it's like sex symbol. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like over sexualizing her, making her a part of like their fantasies or whatever. And mm-hmm. so they definitely disrespected both women, but definitely in different ways. You know what I mean? Yeah. That part was like sad to me because it's like, here you are, Addie's character, like trying to separate you when you both have the same issues, because they could give two shits that one of you is darker than the other. You know, they still right. see you as a woman who is incapable of performing at a man's standard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that like goes into this whole idea of toxic masculinity, right? And how even then, black men having issue with women taking the lead and being the provider and the breadwinner, and how that, you know, distorts their sense of self, and it's not the black woman's fault. And so showing that is important because we still even deal with that today. In certain relationships that people have, you see it, even if it's subtle or outright covert. So it's just something that we're reminded of, to be honest.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. I think they did a good job with that too. You know, they just did. The relationship, even with the relationship between CJ and Sarah, you know what I mean? Her being focused on what she can do to not only get all of this message out to all black women everywhere, but to grow her enterprise, you know what I mean? To spread something to her family, you know, or her future generations and whatnot. And he's more focused on, well, you are being selfish, you only thinking about you calling it your business and whatnot, you know, the fact that she's running the business, she's making the decisions and things like that, whereas it's his name and he's focusing on the marketing, you know. And it's like, in relationships, we have to look at what our strengths are, what are you bringing to the table? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So if you see that your spouse or your significant other is, you know, has a vision or whatever, support them in that vision, you know, be there to encourage them and make sure that they are getting what they need to be the best in what they are, you know, or what they do, you know, and then playing your part as well. Because if you are our marketing mastermind, then that's a big portion of of a company right there is absolutely. Marketing, absolutely. You know? And so making sure to come up with something that not only really makes the product palatable to people or, you know, wanted by everybody, but making sure that the person who is actually creating the product is comfortable with it. Cause just like when he created like the whole Walker Girl campaign or whatever, you know, you should know that the whole listening to her and that the whole message was black women of all colors and all shapes and all sizes or whatever are able to feel beautiful. But then you put this woman who,
you know, she had beef with Addie. Like, what? I can't even think of his name.
CJ?
Who plays CJ?
I
cannot think of his name.
Blair Underwood.
Okay, so you know, I'm always thinking Blair Underwood ain't shit. And I am always basing this off of is Madea's Family Reunion, because he wasn't shit. But from the jump, I was like, you know what? Normally, I don't fuck with Blair Underwood, but he's going to surprise me. He's going to be a wonderful, supportive husband to Madam. And, you know.
And he started out that way. He started out like that.
But then that makes you, that really resonated to me, because a lot of times we want to support our partners in their dreams and their careers, but a lot of times we let our insecurities, right? Because I think that was a huge issue with him. He started feeling insecure about her success. Yes. And even though this was her baby, he tried to make it a we thing instead of saying how just continuing to support her in her dream. You get what I'm saying?
Right. Yes.
I think that was like the hugest part. It's like he didn't know how to just be the co-star, you know what I'm saying, yes, of her dream. Like he still had that man's role. I'm the man, rah, 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 rah.
Right.
This is my wife. Let me speak for her. Let me, you know, be the face, you know. And it's like, no, as a woman, sometimes you have to be out there in the forefront, whether you think somebody will take your ideas or not, you know.
Right, right. And what he could have done, you know, was instead of just focusing so much on her marketing and things like that, you know, or focusing on what she's doing, he could have like did marketing on the side. You know what I mean?
Right.
Other entrepreneurs that are getting started or whatever, you know, saying, hey, how can I help you with your marketing? How can I help you push your product or your service or whatever?
Right.
I mean, because I think when people are in relationships or marriages and they see, you know, one of the significant others starting to like boom or whatever, or being more passionate about whatever it is that they're doing, a lot of times it's easy for them to lose focus, you know what I'm saying, on what they're doing,
right,
you know,
right,
just because you're focused so much focused on them. And it's like in a relationship, yes, you have to make sure that you give your partner attention and love and all that good stuff, but at the same time, you have to make sure that you don't lose yourself as well. You know, and so focusing on what your strengths are and what you can bring to the table. And I think he kind of lost himself when it came to that.
I think so too. And then when you have like, you know, just that, God, that toxic mindset though, you know, with those gender roles could really just put you under. And then he ended up being, he allowed that insecurity to really push them apart, you know. And then, I mean, once you cheat, shit.
And he cheated with the light skinned lady.
With the light,
so you played into the stereotype.
Madam CJ, that's the part that pisses me off. That bitch was working for her, like,
right,
and then tried to get everybody else against her and get everybody to quit and all that shit. And then essentially, she was jealous of her. Like,
he was.
Played into that whole light skinned, dark skinned thing too, you know.
That's true.
It's like, bitch, she gave you a job. Like, how you gonna not only go behind her back and get people to quit or not work for her, but then you gonna sleep with her husband? Like,
right, and like the fact that she was like giving her an opportunity to be her own boss, you know what I'm saying? Like, she was sending her to Chicago to run her own salon and to sell her whole, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's empowering you and you do this to her, right. You know what I mean?
Bitch ain't gonna probably die with nothing, you hear me?
Oof. I think that's just like what resonated most with me with the movie, is that she not only thought, she wasn't just thinking about herself.
She was,
you know what I mean?
She was
thinking about how she can, yeah, how she can help her family, how she can help other women achieve their goal. You know what I mean? And how she can raise I don't even know how to explain that. Like, not the quality of the race, but like, what am I trying to say? Like, she was trying to make sure that everybody had a seat at the table. You know what I mean?
Yes.
She wanted to make sure everybody had a seat at the table, right, not just black men, not just black women, you know, not just a particular demographic, but everybody. She wanted to make sure everybody had a seat at the table and that everybody could eat. You know, and I think a lot of people got greedy. They, like you said, they let their insecurities get in the way. Even with like, what was her daughter? What was her daughter's name? I can't remember.
Hattie.
Yeah, it was like what the A, I think. Lila.
Yes. So like, even with her and like her husband or whatever, like her husband, which she already knew from the beginning that he wasn't it. You know what I'm saying? She knew, but she still gave him an opportunity to prove himself. And what did he do? He ended up fucking her over just like everybody else. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like, he gave you an opportunity to be something and to do something with yourself, but you then sold her out all because you was being spiteful because of, you know, your wife and what she was doing. You know what I mean? But that's like something that you have to be able to talk about. And I get that it was different times, you know, and whatnot. But it's like, if you take that same situation and you apply it to today, or you set it in today's setting, it's like you have to be willing and open to talk about the things that you're feeling. Like if you see something, say something, especially in a marriage, not just letting it go by the wayside and seeing these things take place and not doing anything about it. You say something so that you can get all that negative energy and that those insecurities out of yourself, and you can move forward doing what it is that makes you feel good about yourself or feel good about your situation or whatever, you know.
Well, and I also feel like sometimes as Black people, we just have this crab in the barrel mentality, because I feel like, yes, he had issues with Tiffany Haddish's character, his wife, but he also felt some way about Madam C.J. Walker because she tried to hold him to a higher standard. She wasn't going to let him just bullshit. And I think a lot of that is an issue too, that you have these young men out here who are not trying to rise to the fucking occasion. Like, you trying to be her husband. You are her husband. But yet you're not trying to do everything in your power to really be the head. You know what I'm saying? And I think because he couldn't rise to that, that's why he essentially was just being messy.
Of course. Of course. But like, people tend to do that. And I what I do like it about this movie is that it did pinpoint a lot of things that go on within the Black community and in Black families. Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. And it's, I think a lot of people don't really care for the movie because it does expose a lot of things. You know, it exposes a lot of things that are going on within the community. But I think those types of thing, those types of medium need to be put out. You know what I'm saying? No, so that we can start having these conversations. Important.
Like, if we don't see it, then we're like, we're not talking about it. And if we're not talking about it, we're not changing the situation in the narrative. Facts. You know?
Facts. Facts.
Because, and it's all about making it better for future generations. Conversation of generational wealth. Like, that's what she was trying to leave her daughter. You know what I'm saying?
And then seeing the strengths that she possessed. You know what I mean? Because she possessed the same strengths as her mom, and but she just had a different spin on it. You know, she was more free and, you know, not so professional, but more artistic and creative with it. And so being able to use her creativity to sell the product and to grow the business in her own way. You know what I'm saying? Like, when she went to Harlem, she blew up. You know what I mean? All because of being herself. And by the time that her mom got there, she had already created this beautiful empire. You know what I mean? So just allowing your children to be themselves, that was another you know, thing that they touched on that really resonated with me. You know, just allowing your children to be who they are and express themselves in the way that they feel most comfortable, and supporting them in that. You know, because at one point Sarah was trying to force her to be something that she wasn't, you know, and you could see how it was limiting her and putting her in a box, you know. But then when she actually supported her and she encouraged her to go out and do what it is that made her happy, you know, then it was a change. You could see her feeling more confident in herself, you know, more in touch with who she was and what she, what her gifts were. And she brought the business in, you know what I'm saying? That way when she, when Sarah came to Harlem, she didn't have nothing to worry about. You know what I mean?
And that's so a real conversation too, because I mean, you think about parents wanting to leave something for their kids, you know, a moneymaker, whatever the case may be, but then also expecting or giving them that space to make it their own. You know what I mean? And it's okay if they don't stay in the whole rim of
your idea.
Hanging in your idea, like, you know, passing that on, you hope that they can keep it going and add parts of themselves to bring that passion. Because if your kids aren't, that's how you see when people aren't passionate about what their parents have left for them. That's how the shit ends up closing down or being sold right up underneath them, you know, stuff like that. And so really funny. Having those conversations with your kids about what they want to do and how they want to make money and how they can grow maybe your company or your whatever you're doing, mm-hmm. I think is important.
And it's just funny. Like I can't say it enough. Like the fact that even though hair wasn't her thing, it wasn't her passion, right. She made it her own. You know what I mean? She was able to incorporate what she was passionate about and what did make her happy in order to make the business work for her. Right. You know, and that is what is most important when it comes to like you and your family. If your kids don't want to do things the way that you do it, maybe trying a different spin on it or a different take. You know, maybe instead of running the whole business, maybe their strength is just running the marketing or running, the operations or something like that. You know, think about where their strengths might be most beneficial. And then maybe they just may not be, you know, a strength or what they may not be interested in what you're doing, period. Right. You know, and being okay with that. But teaching them the tools at the very least, you know, that they can apply to their own actions. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cause like, I mean, she left everything to her, what I mean? And so like, even if she didn't want to continue doing hair, she could have took that wealth that her mother left her and applied it to whatever she was interested in doing.
Exactly.
You know, cause she already has the skills of running a business. She knows how to do it. She knows how to market. She knows how to network. So that's the most important piece. And her mama was able to teach her that and pass that along. So
I also love the whole conversation of investing in people, you know, and sometimes how we look for these huge investors and stuff like that. But her like right hand man type of guy, he believed in her like and couldn't wait to say that he invested in her brand, you know.
Yeah,
I like that was my favorite part, even though his cousin wasn't shit and kind of hold his ass.
Right. But he saw her vision though.
He saw her vision. And sometimes like we all need to like push each other more. And like that's how these businesses start up. This is how we change our communities, by putting our money where our mouth is. And like you have the means to invest in somebody and their idea, do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got to.
And then see doing whatever you can to make sure that it wins once you invest. You know what I'm saying? Not just complaining, because I think a lot of times in our community, like we'll complain about something. Well, this needs to be fixed and this needs to be done and this needs to be done, but don't do anything to really help
that
or come up with solutions. You know what I mean? So it's like not only identifying problems, but coming up with solutions to help, so that the person who is dealing with everything else can focus on what it is that they're focusing on, you know, and you can just take that, whatever it is that you identify, and fix it. You know what I mean? Absolutely. Like, it's important, because a lot of people do just focus on that negative part, you know, or whatever's wrong, and don't come up with different ways that we can find solutions, you know?
Yes, absolutely. One other part that kind of did make me sad, since we were talking about like investing, and it was Bill Bellamy's character was the cousin, like the little, what was his name?
Sweetness.
Sweetness.
Yeah.
Well, like, I caught it, but Sweetness actually died, like was murdered. Not, we can't just say died, because it wasn't like a natural thing, but he was murdered. But I didn't fully get the gist of that. Like, did y'all get that?
The guy's son, went out to do something. And these white boys were there, and they didn't like the fact that he was able to like pay for himself and all of that stuff, I guess, you know, and so they started antagonizing him, but Sweetness was there to defend him, you know, and he ended up getting murdered or whatever, because the white people didn't like the fact that he was defending him, you know, or at least that's what I got. Maybe it was wrong, but because it wasn't quite clear, like they touched on it
because, you know, we deal with that now where we have innocent black men dying, Mm-hmm. You know, and even back then, that was a huge thing where we just had our loved ones, men in our lives, just dead because a white man liked how they was moving. That and right. It had not shit to do with them. Or they were defending, you know, themselves. Their families or themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah.
That's the sickest shit to me. Like, it's so hard to, like, forgive that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm reading a book right now called Hood Feminism. And it talks about Black women and their role in feminism and how they kind of just don't call themselves feminism just because of the history and how white women have operated and how you kind of just don't see them as not necessarily allies, but you don't see them as, what is the word?
Partners.
Accomplices. What's the word they? I can't even think of the word. Solidarity is not. Yeah. The chapter was called Solidarity is not for. It's only for white women. It's not for anybody else. And so I just think about how like. Folks is just sneaky out here, and it's a lot of mistrust. You know, it's like you want to like believe that we can bridge this gap between Black people and white people, but then you're reminded of like history where, you know, our loved ones were murdered over some bullshit. And the craziest part is that white people don't admit that this was like, a crucial part of like history. They think like slavery was over and like, yeah, it was some racist shit after that, but you know, you guys made it. But it was like, no, like this is some real shit that has happened, you know? Mm-hmm. And just the amount of like mistrust there is just unbelievable.
But they don't even see, like, I think what is the real slap in the face is that they don't see how it has been passed down to them. You know what I'm saying? And what they do today that, you know, even resonates with that, you know what I'm saying? Because like I know even in my job I or the jobs that I've had, there's been people who I have opened up to and, you know, kind of gotten a little bit close to, but then they've shown me their true colors, like, you know, by either taking advantage of me, you know, not helping me out when I needed help, but me always helping them out and bailing them out, you know what I mean, things like that. You know, or either saying things that are that's inappropriate, you know what I mean? And then having to like teach them, you know, like, look, that's not appropriate. That's not what you're supposed to say. You shouldn't. That's a mess. You know what I mean? Get yourself together. Like, I don't know if anybody's ever told you this, but that's not cool to say. You know, I really don't think you should think that way. You shouldn't hold this against this particular person because they come from a different background. Like having to teach them that. But it's like not being there's not things that are reciprocated to you. You know, there's things that they don't see that they do. You know, the microaggressions, you know, for one. You know, that they just are able to say things so freely and not really think about it. You know what I mean? Until after it's come out of their mouth. And then you say, yo, you know what I mean? That was fucked up. You need to really catch yourself. You know what I'm saying? Really think about what you're saying because that's not cool. You know what I mean? But then it's like the whole victimization thing starts to happen. Like, oh, well, I didn't really mean. Like, but it's like, you have to start
what you said is shit and words of power. Like,
exactly. You know, and just like even like applying additional pressure and stress on to us, you know, like we're not a part of a team because that does create, you know, tension between people when you're in a workspace, especially like, you know, I'm here to help you whenever there's a situation that's going on or wherever I see that you need help and I can help you, but that's not reciprocated to me. It really does make you feel like, damn, they'll never learn.
Right. And it's like, and it's exhausting. Like, this was the first year, like, that I've had a majority Black staff, you know, and you don't appreciate it until you find yourself possibly being in a situation where you're back in the presence of a majority white staff, you know, and it's hard. Like, it is taxing to my mental stability, you know, working with white people. And I know that is like super sad, but it's like
that. But it's like,
you know,
white people will work themselves to death if they let themselves. You know what I mean? And we're not that. You know what I mean? Like, we work because we have to. Because we have to provide for our families. You know what I mean? Like, but I'm not going to work myself to death. You know, if I'm sick or if I'm tired and I need a day, I'm going to take a day. And I'm not going to let you guilt me out of taking a day to recuperate. You know what I'm saying? Like, one thing that I recognize just in saying that kind of touches on this, is like, when I don't feel good and I communicate that with my coworkers or whatever, and they just kind of brush it off like, well, none of us feel good. No. I'm telling you, I don't feel good. I'm telling you that I'm sick, I'm stressed, I'm tired, I need a day, you know, and you're like, well, we all deal with things. No, I'm telling you what I need right now. Right now, you're not the one that's sick. You know what I'm saying? I'm sick. And I'm telling you that I'm not okay, you know, but you're just brushing it off like, well, we got work to do. Yes, we got work to do, but I think I could take a day or two, you know, to get my health back together so I can come back and do what I need to do. You know, I'm not going to work myself to death, you know, or feel like I'm close to death or whatever, just and still come into work. No, I'm going to take the time that I'm required to get back to my normal self. And then I'm going to come and do what what I'm used to doing, which is beasting this shit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like
it always ties to our ancestors too, and seeing how hard they worked for this country, and a lot majority, if not all, didn't have shit to show for it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like
busting their ass for like
busting around for somebody else's gain. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we ain't no fucking slave shit.
Mm-hmm. Making like the white people making millions of dollars and stuff off of these people who are making pennies. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's the same, and it's the setup that we have to this day. You know what I mean? About the almighty dollar. It's all about the almighty dollar.
More now with this pandemic. You know what I'm saying? Where corporations so badly want to put people at risk just so they can keep the money going. And it's like, this is the problem right here, where the people who are putting their own lives at risk to make sure y'all have groceries in your house, making sure that we're keeping, you know, the healthcare professionals and everybody involved are getting paid shit. You know what I'm saying? Other than doctors and nurses, you know, but everybody else doesn't get paid that much to be putting their life in so much risk, or to be, you know, work like dogs.
That's real. That's really real.
But it's like, how do we move? Like, how do we kind of navigate away from this American capitalism into more socialist, like, mindset?
Working together. Like, working together, supporting each other, encouraging each other.
Accountable.
Holding each other accountable. You know, because we have a lot. Our community, our communities have a lot of healing to do. You know, on an individual level, we have healing to do on an individual level, a familial level, economic level. We have so much healing that needs to be done. Yeah. So encouraging each other to take part in that healing, supporting each other through that, and then sharing information with everybody. Yeah. You know, everything ain't meant to cost a dollar. You know, if you know something that's going to benefit other black people, sharing that information. Like, that's one thing that I really like about the Budgetista, is that she has whole modules, you know, or 30-day plans and stuff like that to help you fix your credit, to help you pay off debt, to help you purchase a home, things like that. That's information that our community needs, you know what I'm saying? And it's all free. It's all free, you know, but she also has services that she charges for, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, we have to learn how to give the information that is most needed within our communities, and spreading that and giving it to them without charging a dollar for it. You know what I'm saying? But then when it comes to the specialty cases, like if you're trying to become wealthy, that's a whole nother thing. Right. You know, if you want individual assistance or whatever to kind of, you know, help manage your personal finances and stuff, then charging then. You know what I mean? We have to learn when to charge and when to work in a communal space. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If that
makes sense. No, that makes a ton of sense. A ton of sense. Just because we know, like, knowledge is power. And a lot of times what keeps the poor is access to information to change their lives, you know? And even if that means learning how to budget, learning how to fix your credit, and providing those stuff for free, that helps give people a leg up. And not only for them, for their kids, because that's who it really matters. Like, so that we can stop poverty where it's at. Like, why are these kids having to? Because a lot of times, if you grow up poor, most often you will end up poor. Mm-hmm. And that's how that kind of keeps going. So we can break that. That makes the world of a difference.
Right. But see, that's why it's also important to, like, step out of the fear and the self-doubt, self-deprecation, you know, stop bad-mouthing each other, stop bad-mouthing your kids, stop talking down to your kids, stop talking down to your spouses and significant others. You need to be building life, feeding life into them, you know what I mean? Instead of speaking death and fear and anguish over them, you know. And I think that that's one of the most important pieces, because if you are encouraging your children and motivating them and telling them that they're beautiful, telling them that they're loved, and you're doing the same for your spouse, and you're doing the same for your friends, you're doing the same for your coworkers and whatnot, you're doing it to everybody who you encounter, then that raises everybody's vibration and makes them feel more confident in doing what their purpose is. Wow. You know, and then that brings in more money and more revenue into their households, which then they can spread around to the communities. And then you go from there, you know. But, like, the reason that we do stay in the situations that we're in is because we aren't sharing that information. You know, we aren't talking to each other and encouraging each other to heal old emotional and spiritual wounds, you know, to stop generational curses and instead start building generational healing and generational wealth. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are the types of things that we have to touch on first and then start growing from there, you know?
No, that's real. Absolutely real.
But I do think that, of course it is. But I do think that this movie touched on a lot of those things. You know what I'm saying? Just and it's important to, you know, make it a point that, like you said, we all have a seat at the table. It's enough out here for everybody to win and to eat. You know, but it's like we have this limited mentality. You know, but God gave us the Garden of Eden, so all of us can eat. You know what I'm saying? All of us can live and thrive and whatnot. But it's like when we try to give the illusion that there's not enough and only certain people have what it takes to win and to make it and whatnot, then it's a whole other situation. You stay with those that are limited, you know, or believe that they're limited, and then the others who feel that they own the world. It's disproportionate. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Ooh, it really was, like, overall, despite, like, maybe not some accurate information or them choosing to kind of
take creative.
Take a different creative approach with telling the story. Like, despite that, it really, really, really was a good story. It really, really was. I think because, just like you said, there's so many components worth speaking on, whether we're talking about relationships between mother and their kids, marriages, financial wealth, hating ass friends that turn into you know what I'm saying? Like, it is just room to get you all the way together if you let it.
That's real. That's real.
Yeah. But I think my takeaway was just fighting for yourself and what you're passionate in.
Yes.
Okay. What was you going to say, Michael, before I cut you off?
No, I was going to say that one of the things that I appreciate about the series is that while some people have, like, critiques about it and say, oh, this wasn't accurate or whatever the case may be, what it will do is allow people to actually look up and research Madam C.J. Walker, and understand the type of philanthropist and activist she was in supporting the Black community. She's done numerous things to support the advancement of Black people, Black women, and Black communities. She is a example of service excellence, in my opinion, and should be revered as such, and not just, you know, casted as a woman who was money hungry. I've literally heard someone say that in the comments about the movie. I'm just like, wait a minute, hold up. This is just a depiction. Chill. You know what I mean? Like, and I get people are sensitive about that, and so not to underplay that, but just opening up our minds to understand like who she was. And even though this was an entertaining film series, the reality of the situation is that she's done so much for Black communities.
Yes.
That's true. Yes.
I think that is a great component, because people, yes, this was inspired by her, but she did so much more. So make sure you read up on the shit she's actually done.
Right.
Instead of just judging this book like it's some all factual, you know.
But it inspired me. I'm not even gonna front. It inspired me, because one thing that I could recognize was her passion for what it is that she was doing. You know what I'm saying? That fire, real, recognized real. You know what I'm saying? And I could recognize that fire. I think that Octavia did a great job at portraying the fire that she had. You know what I'm saying? To make sure that her business was of quality and a success. You know what I'm saying? Because she didn't just do anything. She didn't just make any decision. Because she could have did the whole Walker Girl campaign and it would have probably been a success. You know what I'm saying? She could have gone through with the partnership with the Sanders stores or whatever. She could have done that. It was already done. She could have said, fuck all of y'all and how y'all feel, and moved forward with that. But she didn't.
Because you know, so many people do. So many people get a position where it could really elevate them, but put other people in a compromising position, you know? Mm-hmm. But I love that she not only just stayed true to herself, like she did. Stay true to herself and still made opportunities for other people who look like her.
She was always thinking about other people. She was always thinking about how her actions were going to hurt or help other people, other Black people around her. You know what I'm saying? And I think that that's what is most important. That's the thing that we have to remember. What is what we are doing going to do for our communities? Yes. Is it going to help our communities, or is it going to hurt our communities? Am I taking from my community, or am I giving back to my community? Right. Like, it's really important for us to stop and think about those things, because yes, we need to be able to make a living for ourselves, but at the same time, we have to make sure that we do so in a way that's going to elevate ourselves, our families, our communities. You know what I mean?
Because the proof is in the pudding. When you give, that shit comes right on back to you.
Sure does.
God will open all the doors when you just use the gifts that he gave you to, like you said, elevate other people's lives. But when you start being selfish and greedy, everything around you starts to fucking crumble. It may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen next week. It may not even happen years from now. But one day, that shit's going to rock your whole world.
That's real. Because my mama, like, she would always tell me, like when it comes to like tithes and whatnot, you don't always have to give your tithes to the church. You know what I'm saying? You can give your 10% to in other philanthropies and things like that. You know what I mean? Like, you can invest it in somebody's business that's getting started. Right. That is a way of giving to something, to a cause. You know what I mean? Like, because if you think about it as the bigger picture or whatever, if we are all vessels of God, you know, and we take our money and we support somebody's business, or we invest into somebody's business, or we buy food for our family or something like that, that's giving back to God. You know what I'm saying? That's a way of giving back to God, and giving by way of giving back to his people. You know what I mean? So it's like, sometimes we have to think about it from a different perspective. It's like, it's not always the way that we've been taught to give, you know what I'm saying? Our 10% or to tithe or whatever, however you want to say it. But, you know, you're still giving back. You're still paying what it is to the Lord. You know what I mean? You're still giving your portion. And of course, it's going to come back shaking. What is it? What's the term? I can't remember. I can't remember. So I'm not even going to try because I ain't going to mess
old or something.
What? Yeah, I was gonna say the whole thing, but I can't remember. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time.
It all out.
It's been a long time. But yeah, like I mean, it's gonna come back to you, you know. But don't do it because of the fact that right. you're expecting like, to receive back.
Doing this,
yeah. Because then that's when you mess it up. That's when you put the obstacles in front of your blessings. You know what I mean? It's like. You give because it's in your heart to give.
Right. Because you genuinely want to see somebody. And I think that's why I loved Madam CJ's story from the jump. Because it was about her and her journey with her hair, but wanting to extend that to other women that looked like her. You know, because right. she easily said, shit, my hair grew, bitch.
Yeah, bitch status. Fuck y'all hoes.
Like bald head over there with that damn scarf on your head. But no, she was like, bitch, I see you. And I went through the same shit. And bitch, I want you to have fun.
Right. Yes.
So it's like, we really, really got to share, you know, the information and really just continue to uplift each other. Like, that's what it's all about.
That's
and
real.
Continue to tell these stories, these hard, uncomfortable stories, so that we can learn from them and implement them within our own lives and our own community.
That's real.
Mm-hmm.
That's so real. Any takeaways from the movie that y'all can think of?
The movie, the series, you know, was entertaining. And I thought that it was a good way for people who did not know Madam C.J. Walker to let that be a starting point so that they can look up more information and become familiarized with the type of dynamic woman that she was. And she was outstanding in the way that she built community, the way that she organized, the way that she empowered, the way that she saw a need and stood in a gap for many Black women, for many Black communities, and be inspired by that. Because there are people who still do the same thing today, but we need to reach out and connect with everyone in our communities to revitalize that spirit of philanthropy, of giving and connecting and uplifting and building and organizing. And so I thought it was a really great experience, honestly, because like I said, it was some entertainment in there and it was some, you know, replaying of history in there, but overall I appreciated it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Big facts.
Big facts.
And like I just like my takeaway was just the fact of, you know, not only doing things that are self-serving, you know what I mean, but using your passion to share those gifts and those products, those resources with your community, your people, you know, because if what you do makes you feel good and you know that it'll make somebody else feel good and you share that with them, then that helps them feel better about themselves so that they can then go ahead and do what their purpose is, you know, and then they see you winning by doing what it is that you do. And then that encourages them to do, you know, do what they want to do. Or what they're passionate about, and then become successful and sharing that information and whatnot to so that they can become successful. You know, so I think that would be my takeaway.
No, I love it.
Yes. Okay. So now we are going to move over to our feel good segment. We still don't have a name for it, but we're just going to call it that. Did y'all find anything this week?
What did I see?
Danny, you posted something on Facebook with the the Sunday service choir when they was on that plane or whatever, and they was like all singing and stuff.
That's talk shit about Kanye. I know we do. But that was probably the best shit that he's done in a long time. Yes. Create this choir, because everybody knows, like, Oh, there is a really good ministry within music itself, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so when you can unite people and get them together just to hear the word in music form, it gets me my whole life. I'm like, why was I not on that plane? Like,
I'm telling you.
It was a whole vibe. It was a whole vibe.
It literally made me miss being in choir in high school and at church. It made me miss the whole, just atmosphere. You know what I mean?
Because I used to have so much fun in the church choir. Like, so it was very like nostalgic for me because like, you know, just singing and just, you know, and it's like, they look like, I just love seeing Black people sing too. So
yes,
that's a whole nother in itself.
Big facts. Another thing that something that I've been noticing or whatever that really makes me happy is all these videos with the people who are like doing like they it shows them before or whatever and then they do like the little brushes or whatever and then it shows them like made up.
I love it
so much just to see the whole range of Blackness and how beautiful we all are.
These brothers, child. I'm like, God damn.
Yeah.
I lose my whole religion over here. Like, go back. Go watching the video. Same video about 100 times.
Facts. That's so facts.
That too was just like black excellence. You know, just how we can just change your whole life. We can be raggedy as hell. Give us some time, bitch. We slaying on all you hoes. Even at the house. We ain't even going nowhere. We about to slay on you hoes.
Right. Go to the kitchen. That's it. But still looking good.
And you know what? And shout out to the Black parents out there really trying to educate their kids at home. Like, really taking the time to find just resources, whether you're contacting your teacher or you're looking online. Like, I just love it because people forget it starts at home. You do not want to rely on the school to teach and educate your kids, because a lot of y'all finding out that y'all kids don't know shit. So let this situation inspire you to stay on your kids from pre-K till and really college. Be on that ass.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Yes. Okay, so and now we are going to move over to our final segment of the show. A word from our ancestors, bro. What you got for us this week?
Of course, I have a quote from Madam C.J. Walker. So
yes.
Her quote says, "Don't sit down and wait for the opportunities to come. Get up and make them." So this quote is, I can't even explain how deeply it connects to the topic of the series and in general for what Black communities need to do. We can't always just sit back and think that something is going to be given to us or that we've earned something so we have to wait to get it. No, we have to get up and get that shit or create it, more importantly. So really thinking about how we can come together as a collective to bring our minds together and create something that's going to last over time, something sustainable, something that's going to really infiltrate the community in a way that's going to uphold and support future generations, something that's going to allow us to leave our mark here. And so we are very creative, as we said, we just talked about that. With even in tragic times, we manage to transform situations into better ones. And so we have enough internal talent to really be that change we want to see amongst ourselves and our communities. So yes. I think this is an important quote because it reminds us of who we are, our capabilities, and what we can do to really make a difference in our lives and our communities.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Because if she can do it, baby, why can't
if she could do it back then? You know what I'm saying? Then,
that's the crazy part. That's the crazy part. Back then, because, you know, they like in the movie, like to say her biggest enemy was this light skinned sister, but we all know white folks weren't shit back then either.
Facts.
You know? Any obstacle they were going to put in your place, they were going to do that.
That's real. So just go out there and be your bad self. Be your bad self and be confident in it. Encourage yourself. Be encouraged. You know what yes. I mean? Don't just talk about it. Be about it.
Don't talk be about it. Be about it.
Yes, yes,
big
yes.
facts, big facts.
Be about that action.
And just surround yourself with your team that's going to push you and encourage you. Don't have people in your corner who don't want to see you win. And you're right. going to, they will quickly show you what that means. Mm-hmm. So you'll be able to spot them at their asses out quick.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Mm. But that is going to wrap up this week's episode. Yes. It was awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. If you guys have any input about this episode, if you want to tell us what you thought about the movie, if you had anything that we didn't touch on that you want to talk about, don't forget that you can always slide in our DMs. We are on Instagram at Woke and Broke Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Woke and Broke Pod. Or you can shoot us an email at wokeandbrokepodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget, we want to hear from you guys just as much as y'all be hearing from us. Yay. So send us a good word. Send us a good word. But yeah, that's going to wrap up the show. I hope you guys have an amazing week. Stay healthy. Don't be having no parties and shit because I've been seeing.
Only on Zoom. That's the only power you have. Zoom. They got some house party apps. FaceTime. Mm-hmm. That's about it. That's the only time you can do is via video cam with your family and friends.
Right.
You don't live with them. Don't go to their house.
Right. Mm-hmm. Don't be putting yourself or nobody else at risk. Don't do it.
Exactly. It ain't worth it.
It ain't worth it. It's not. So take care of yourself. Stay healthy. Drink your water. Eat your vegetables. Get your immune system built up.
And fuck all night.
Do that. Yes. Do that. Yes. But we're going to catch y'all later. Deuces.
Bye.
Bye. What's up, everybody? Thank you guys so much for listening to Woke and Broke. We hope you've been resonating with all of our topics each week, and we want to remind you that you can join in on the conversation. Send your input on this week's topic and any random questions you may have for the Q&A segment to wokeandbrokepodcast@gmail.com. Rate and review us on iTunes and share our episodes with your friends. We know you love it, so just join in on the conversation and show us some love. Get into it. Talk to y'all next week.